Ladies and gentlemen, Chikara fans, thank you, hopefully all of you once again, listening to this mess of a podcast that I, PJ Drummond, have created. My Breakfast with Chikara, and on this day, I am very proud to be joined by a man who I've conversed with a lot solely through my television, as I have sadly never really had much of an opportunity to work with him while at Chikara shows, but he's a man we all know, a man we all love, and his name is Scott Jagged Parker. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I just came in with that. That was the first thing that came to my head.
That works. That sounds perfectly fine.
Showing my street credentials.
That's right. That's right. A nice boisterous beginning to this breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm throwing up gang signs.
Anyone's in particular?
I think this looks like a B, so maybe that's Bloods. Maybe, I don't know.
All right. Sounds about right. I've actually... I've studied the gangs here in Chicago, where I live. There's a wonderful website that's called ChicagoGangs.org, and it talks about all the various gangs in Chicago. And one thing that's really helpful is you can actually pull up like a Google map, and it shows you what gangs are in your particular neighborhood.
Well, I guess that's good. It's kind of like the neighborhood watch.
Pretty much. I haven't gotten away. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, I haven't gotten away from the Latin Kings in years. They've been surrounding me at all times.
They've just swarmed you.
They have.
Maybe you're on their list.
I must be. Although my girlfriend once did get into an argument with a Latin King, as she was completely unimpressed with the fact that he did claim to be a member of the Latin Kings.
Well, I mean, you gotta flash the affiliations. You know what I mean?
Of course.
I understand it. I mean, that's big time. If I'm walking around Chicago, I'm saying I'm aligned with Al Capone personally.
He's a good one.
That's just me.
I understand. I mean, there's a level of old school respect for Mr. Capone, so it's a good way.
Yeah,
to go.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly. Are there many gangs up in your neck of the woods?
There's a lot of wannabe gangsters, I'd like to say.
Okay.
There's a lot of wannabes. The funny thing is, back in 1997, there was this whole big, referendum going on in Quebec, which basically was, a large majority of the French population wanted to separate Quebec entirely from Canada.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, kind of geographically doesn't make any sense at all because it's kind of, you know, linear, you know, all the provinces are lined up. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that had a lot of, that sprung a lot of gangs with very creative names, I must say, such as, and this is, it's got a French spin on the word, okay. Les Gangsters Blancs, which means the white gangsters who carry around, you guessed it, kids, a white bandana. And then their rival gang, Les Gangsters Bleus, which, let's see if we can all get this one together. What color of bandana did they have? Blue.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really innovative stuff, groundbreaking stuff.
Now, so these were politically based gangs, I'm guessing, the ones that wanted to separate and the ones that didn't?
There's a bunch of just a bunch of dumb kids trying to be cool, I guess, kind of how most gangs start. And the thing is, especially in my hometown, I'm kind of in a suburb of Montreal, and it's really not a rough neighborhood at all.
Okay.
It's very middle class, a lot of old people from the baby boomers. And so these kids are walking around here talking about thug life and street life when really it's hanging outside the Walmart is not exactly my definition of thug life. But then again, what do I know?
This is true. You are bourgeoisie, it sounds like.
Yeah, very, very much so. Great coupon and caviar and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Well,
we're off to a great start.
We are. Wow. I mean, my interactions in Canada are sadly limited. I've been there on occasion. I've been to Montreal, and I think that was the last environment of Canada that I went to. I've never been there when I could actually just experience it as an adult and do everything, which is sad.
I don't think I've actually experienced as an adult yet either. So I think I'm still pretty much a child. So, I couldn't really weigh in on how that would be.
Okay. All right. Well, you can at least speak Quebecois, yes?
I can. I'm very fluent in English and French, which makes me bilingual.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm just going to dust that shoulder off right there.
It's much more than I can say. I am from a foreign country, but I am still it's an English speaking foreign country, so I really can't even try to do two different languages.
That's it. Don't fix it if it ain't broke, right?
Yeah, exactly. Although for some reason, and I believe it is in Quebec. I'm originally from Bermuda, and for some reason, a huge number of Bermudians love going away to college in Quebec.
Huh.
And I have no idea why.
I know the college university up here is actually pretty world class as far as like there's McGill and Concordia, and I know they're pretty high as far as schooling goes, and not to mention that it's a lot cheaper than going to the United States of America, and you know, we have free health care, which is great.
You do have that. That is
true. I do. I think I'm going to go have neck surgery tomorrow just because I can.
I don't know. According to all everything the news says down here, you'll have to wait at least 6 months for that dire thing that you need.
Exactly. It's urgent, but you're just going to have to go ahead and wait a little bit there.
Yeah. So that's probably more of a fabrication on the that wonderful media's part of ours down here.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you kind of figured listening to it. But you do at least have the death panels, though, right?
That's a great question. See, I'm so out of touch. I don't know.
Oh, all right.
I wish I did.
Okay. Basically a government body deciding who lives and dies.
I'd like to be on that panel, if I'm going to be quite honest.
Sure.
That's going to be a real power trip.
I would imagine. Absolutely.
You got the gears going in my head now. Who am I going to knock off?
I'm sure there's a few people you can think of.
Hey, why not, man?
Yeah,
why not?
Exactly.
Just decrease the surplus population, as Ebenezer Scrooge said in The Christmas Carol.
Ah, yes. It's a lot nicer.
Charles Dickens on this thing. Look at that.
That's amazing.
Edumacated.
Was that your favorite? Did he write A Christmas Carol? Charles Dickens did? Yeah, I guess he did. Okay.
Yes, he did. As well as Tale of Two Cities, which is another popular novel.
This is true.
Dropping knowledge.
You are amazing me. I'm trying to remember. And the Tale of Two Cities has that famous beginning. Best of times, it was the worst of times.
That's exactly it. As a matter of fact, I just looked to my left on my bookshelf, and there's the book sitting right there in the center.
Really? All right.
True story.
Are you a voracious reader?
Voracious, I think, is a very big word. I dabble.
Okay.
I like Goosebumps books. Those are all fantastic read.
True.
But I do like to read, actually, when the mood strikes me right. I like Stephen King very much, as a matter of fact. But mostly into biographies, actually. I like learning about people and hearing their wild stories that may or may not be true.
All right. Any particular biographies you would recommend at this time?
Let me see. One that's not extremely PG, but if you're over the age of 18 and or if not, get your parents' consent for Gene Simmons' Kiss and Makeup. Is very good.
Ah, okay.
Also, Anthony Kiedis's from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, his autobiography is very good. The name escapes me right now, but yeah, that guy had a very messed up life. It's a very interesting read. Right now I'm reading, what am I reading now? Oh, man, Keith Richards, there we go. Yeah, at a brain fart.
That's in my stack of to read. I have an unnecessarily large pile of books to read. So,
but you should. You should at least always have, a list to read. Even if you don't get around to them, at least you have that, kind of set there. You got your priorities going.
True. I'm currently attempting to get my way through what has been released so far of the Song of Fire and Ice, or Ice and Fire trilogy, or not even trilogy. It's longer than that. The thing Game of Thrones came from.
Quadrilogy? I don't even know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think it's a quintology at this point, set to be a septology, maybe.
Octopology? Does that apply? I don't even know
That sounds more whatever. I'm trying to remember. Oh, what an octopus is. I had the word for it right in my head, and I've completely lost it.
I know eight kids is octoplets.
This is true.
Because that Because that broad who had the 8 kids, they call her Octo Mom.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And if you are 80 years old, you are an octogenarian.
Boom, look at this. We are dropping vocabulary stuff today.
It's this is the smartest podcast ever.
I think we're up on it. I think we're going to have to dumb it down for sure.
Possibly. Well, do you have any recommendations on dumbing it down?
Not yet, but I'm sure something will come. Some dumb thing will come out of my mouth, which I'm positive usually happens.
I did actually want to ask, I'm sure you've done many interviews talking about, you know, your origins in this grand wrestling business.
Yes, sir.
Sadly, I have not heard enough of them. So I must admit I'm not, well, I've read Wikipedia to make sure I'm prepared for this interview.
Right, which a lot of it is very inaccurate, but that's okay. I'm
of course.
On Wikipedia. It makes me feel like a big deal.
Your early years, especially just the style of wrestling that came out of Canada that sort of took America and the indie wrestling scene by storm. Where does that come from?
Well, that came from a promotion that was running up here called IWS.
Right.
I'm sure many of the more hardcore indie wrestling fans will remembered it. That back in say 2005, 2006 was really hitting its stride, and I'd venture to say first, definitely the best indie promotion out of Canada. And it was definitely at one time up there as far as indie promotions in North America. It was up there with the CZW's IWA Mid-South. Smart Mark Video would come up to film the show. So it was really making waves. And that's where people like myself and Shane, El Generico, Kevin Steen, Sexy Eddie, this is where all these guys who kind of got out and ventured out. This is where we all got our start. Super Smash Brothers, of course. I can't forget them. So it was kind of breeded from that. Promotion where it was just kind of like, I hate to use it because it's so cliche, but it was so reminiscent of a VCW, where it was just a bunch of guys just going out to, you know, put everything out that they could to put on this incredible show. And we had such loyal fans and venomous fans who were so into the product. And, you know, it was great because there was no guardrails, so the fans were glued right up against the ring. So when they saw something they like, instead of clapping, they'd be hammering on the mat. And, like, there was a real intimate connection between the product and the fans. So, and I think that's where most of us came from. That's where we got that kind of Smash Mouth style, which I display none of presently.
Well, I think the one thing, too, is that there was something about the individuals that were wrestling there. I mean, as you mentioned, the Super Smash Brothers, Player Uno and Player Dos, now Player Dos, individuals like yourself, El Generico, and Kenny, the fatherless one. I mean, I don't even want to say it this way, but there's something so quintessentially Canadian about it in terms of its humor style. And I mean, was that just the intention from the beginning?
I don't even know if it was so much of an intention. It was just, I guess it's just kind of one of those things that it just came about for some reason. I mean, the funny thing is there's no really good wrestling schools, especially in this Montreal area.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you venture out more, now you have like Lance Storm's wrestling school out in, I believe he runs that out in Calgary, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't really much hard training places to really learn. You go to these places and you learn the basics. And from then on, you kind of just have to branch out and teach yourself and learn from wrestling some other people who have been around. And I guess it kind of evolved from that because I find that a lot of us had to put our own personal spin onto what we were doing. So it became a very personal thing that mixed into not only like our characters, but also our style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now you and, of course, your tag team partner, Shane Matthews, had you guys started together?
Yeah, actually, we've been best friends since we were 8 years old.
Wow.
So it's pretty much a lifelong marriage. It's going 20 years now. Oh my God, that's ridiculously long. But yeah, we started together. I I started a year before him because when we were training, he had to stop training for a bit. He had an injury, and then he had to go to work, make more money to pay for training because mm-hmm. the stuff isn't cheap. But yeah, give or take, we started in the same time frame.
Okay, so knowing him at 8 years old, how did you guys bond in elementary school or junior high at that time?
It was absolutely 100% because of professional wrestling.
Really? Okay. So
here's a fun little story. Maybe something I've said this on an interview before, but I always find it's a fun little one to tell. So okay. When we were really young, we used to obviously, like most young wrestling fans, we played with wrestling figures. Mm-hmm. And what we used to do is we used to play with our wrestling figures, you know, together, but not in the same house. I'd be at my house and he'd be over at his house, and we'd talk on the phone and discuss the storylines that were going on between each other's wrestling figure action federations. And I always had the up-to-date Snap'em, Crack'em, bone-jointing WWF figures, and he was very steady hard with the big old rubber LJN.
Nice. Nice.
And Terry Funk was his main man in that promotion. And Terry Funk was always his go-to champion.
I must admit, I'm very impressed by the it's like correspondence chess that you guys were doing there.
we were laying the foreground to the internet.
Absolutely.
now we, as kids, you probably go on to Twitter and tweet our fantasy figure results. Instead, we just used that good old telephone that was still connected to the wall.
What? Wow. Did you actually have to use your finger to dial it?
You know, I think maybe in those early days, I may have still had a rotary telephone.
Fantastic.
I know, right?
Those were the worst phones because I had friends who had a lot of zeros in their phone numbers, and it just took forever to call them.
The worst.
It was terrible.
I don't know why it took them so long to figure out the push button. I don't know what took so long for that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Or at least keep it around the old way where you could just, you know, pick up the handset and demand Klondike 5, 664, whatever, you know, and the operator would
tell somebody what you need, and
they'd move those wires around.
They'll just be very unmotivated about your call and forward you, much like most telephone service agencies today.
Exactly. Do you have a particular grudge against the telephone service?
Pretty much any situation where you have to call into, you know, for technical support or anything of that nature is usually just skull-crackingly miserable.
Okay.
Except for, actually, Nintendo. I called Nintendo because I was having a problem with my Wii recently.
Okay.
They handled it very accordingly and swiftly and were very cordial about it. So I can't complain about the Nintendo. They're not on my bad list yet.
Yet, exactly. Give them time. Give them time.
I hold grudges.
Sorry, go ahead.
I hold grudges. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Has Canada outsourced all of its call centers to other lands yet or no?
I guess, but they say they're from Toronto, but they don't sound like they're from Toronto. That's all I'm saying.
People from Toronto sound like this, while people...
Not so much like this. Nothing wrong with that, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
All right. Yeah. We just, it's their world. We just live in it.
Pretty much. They control everything.
All right, so back to wrestling and all of that, all that fun stuff.
Podcast, after all.
Yes, exactly. So, WWF fan, I'm assuming?
Absolutely, 100% diehard WWF fan.
Okay, all right. Now, who is everybody's got that one strange person that they inexplicably loved compared to the standouts, obviously, like Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior. Did you have a particularly odd one that you were in love with?
I used to really like, for some odd reason, I really enjoyed Special Delivery Jones.
No one enjoyed Special Delivery Jones.
I don't know, but as a kid, I don't even remember seeing him that much, but I remember popping in a WrestleMania tape, and I loved this guy, and I have no reason why. Also, Billy Jack Haynes was another one that I enjoyed for some odd reason.
I remember Billy Jack Haynes. He broke Hercules' chain.
There you go. I think that's exactly why. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And it really isn't. But hey, am I young, whatever, six, 5, 6, 7-year-old mind, that was probably one of the coolest things I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I'm sure, like many, did it move on to ECW or anything like that? Or how did your wrestling fandom expand?
The funny thing is I came really late into the whole ECW thing. First of all, because we didn't have much access to it in Canada. The only time we started getting access to it was, of course, through tape trading. When they signed on with TNN, they had an affiliate station here. When they'd show it at, say, like 3 a.m. On a Saturday night, I think. Mm-hmm. And Shane used to tape the episodes, and, we'd watch them on, say, like Sunday or whatever it be. And that was kind of like the first taste I had of ECW. But also the TNN product was kind of a watered-down version of what ECW was. So I kind of discovered everything a little bit after. I was there through the mid-2000s, but I was always still a I don't even know the word I'm looking for. I was always steadfast?
Steadfast, yeah.
There we go. WWF, WWE fan, and WCW, of course, I'd watched through the Monday Night Wars. Who, as a wrestling fan, didn't watch that?
True. Very true. All right. Yeah, I mean, now, tape trading, did you get into anything like Japan, or were you strictly a North American material kind of guy?
I dabbled into a little bit of the Japan stuff. I remember the first few things I got, I believe, was the 94 J Cup, I believe, was the first one I got. Mm-hmm. And that was insane, just seeing all that stuff. But I think when I saw it, I didn't appreciate it to the extent of kind of how seeing it now. Also, with the experience of going over and actually wrestling in Japan, which made me understand the style a bit more than before. Because, mm-hmm. of course, it's a big difference in styles. And I guess I just didn't understand them. Even when I got it then, like, I saw the Chris Benoit's and the Jericho's and Eddie Guerrero's, who I noticed from WCW. But I still didn't understand the product. So it was kind of... a little bit at a time, and then as, you know, I got more into actually, you know, performing as a wrestler, I started grabbing up more things to see what's going on so I could maybe try and, you know, expand my styles, which I also didn't end up doing.
3.0 has... you've had your hardships, and you're battling towards, you know, that ultimate prize that you guys have strived for so long.
We've been in Chikara for 6.5 years now. Most of that 6.5 years has been spent on the losing side of most matches. Mm-hmm. We were able to, you know, accumulate 3 points and challenge back in September of 2010. Mm-hmm. Against Claudio and Aries, and came ever so close, but fell short. And I can't lie, that loss stung quite a bit. But it's kind of fueled to get back to where we want to be. I think if anybody's in any type of business of what you do, if you don't strive to be the top dog at what you do, then you're kind of, you know, you're treading water.
Absolutely.
And, and I know we go out and we're very much, you know, an entertainment base. We like to entertain. We like to scream. We like to tell jokes during matches. But at the end of the day, I still want to be the top of what I do. And it's been 10 long years Shane and I have been tagging together, and I think it's due time, especially with the show coming up on March 24th in the Toronto area. I think it's due time for the stars to align.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's definitely a formidable challenge in and of itself. Fist, one of the longest running groups in Chikara. And I mean, how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, the thing is it's also tough not knowing exactly who we're going to be going up against.
Certainly.
We don't know if it's going to be Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano's a bit hurt right now, but we don't know. I mean, there's still time for him to heal up and be there. Could it be, you know, Gargano and Icarus? Could it be Chuck Taylor and Icarus? So I think as far as going to plan, you know, strategy against either combination, we're kind of handcuffed. We can't really do that. So I think basically what my only strategy is just to go in there and give every little ounce of energy and everything I've got into this match, because I can find no other way to explain it than I want it. And I want it very bad. I need this. I mean, the loss last time just took too much, and I don't want to go through that again. And I want to be the champion. It's as simple as that. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there.
It means you get more money, if nothing else.
There's always more money.
Yes. When you have that 10 pounds of gold wrapped around your waist.
That's it, because you can melt it down and sell it off for old people to make rings and such. They have a whole bunch of commercials about that. Sell your gold, so maybe if we win, I'll look into that.
There you go. I remember back in the day when Virgil finally won the $1 million belt. I had heard he was gonna sell it, and you know all that, and give the money to the kids in his neighborhood, and he never did. I was very disappointed.
That was funny. The funny thing is the guy would probably actually sell that belt.
Probably.
Virgil wrestling superstars. As a matter of fact, speaking about Virgil, he actually delivered one of my favorite promo lines of all time. Remember that time where he broke his nose and he was wearing the face mask?
Yes.
And I can't remember who the promo was directed at, but he said, hey, so-and-so, who's going to protect your nose? And that just cracked me up. It's one of my favorite lines. I still have to use that in a promo sometime down the line.
One of my favorites along very similar lines of that is actually the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant.
Oh, yeah.
And basically he was about to wrestle a tag team called the Rough Riders. And so he marched up to that microphone, Lance Russell standing there looking all, you know, professional. And he announces, "Rough Riders, I know you're rough because your name is Rough Riders."
And you can't write that stuff, you know? You can't write that.
Not at all. It was followed a close second by him claiming that he had spent one night hanging out with Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson, and implied that they might have put some sort of additive in his drink, and he hadn't been asleep for 3 days.
It was probably just some of Burt Reynolds' mustache that dripped into his beverage, because I heard that thing's magical.
It is quite a magical mustache, yeah.
And as a little segue over on bad promos, everyone who's listening to this has to go onto YouTube and check out Ken Patera. That's it. That's all you have to do.
He could stumble a little bit at times. Yeah. That's never been a problem for you guys, though. You guys are always full of energy and chatterboxes, even.
I guess I was kind of born with the gift of gab. Getting into wrestling, one of my favorite things was promos. I remember it was a Jake the Snake Roberts promo that actually hooked me on wrestling. And that's always been one of my favorite things. And I don't know if it's so much, I never really had to practice all that much. I just talk a lot every single day of my life, and it kind of just comes out naturally.
That's good. Makes life easier when you have a camera in your face. Without a doubt.
Oh, well, of course. You know, anybody who's a performer, that red light comes on and it's go time. A lot of people ask, like, oh, where do you come up with all these wacky ideas for your promos? And the funny thing is, most of them are really true stories. So, you know, I kind of just take a true story, put a little bit of a spin on it, and scream and make a couple of jabs, throw in a punchline, and there's a promo.
I must admit, I do often get distracted by Shane's vigorous gum chewing.
The gum chewing and the facial expressions are,
yes,
even get me most of the time during the gum smacking. Imagine how I feel. You know, you guys are watching it through a screen. I'm getting it right in my right ear every 2.5 minutes of just right in my ear. I've suffered hearing loss over the years because of it. I'm positive.
You might, maybe you want to get some, but you got healthcare up there, whatever, like we just said, you're fine.
That's exactly it. I can get a check for free.
Exactly. They'll buy you a new ear. It'll be perfect.
The ear graft, no problem.
Maybe it'll be one of those, did you ever see the ads for those old, it looked like an old transistor radio that you just kind of pointed it at things and it had big old headphones to help you hear when you're at the movies and you're old.
And now they do it. I saw a commercial the other night. Now it's like a little Bluetooth device, so you can eavesdrop on people's conversations. That's all we need.
Yeah, exactly. That's
now, because of technology, I can't stand across the room and talk down about a person sitting on the other end of the room. What's this world coming to?
It's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of affairs. You know, Rush Limbaugh on a national radio show can't say what he thinks about people.
No, right? Come on.
Terrible. Terrible.
Free speech, USA, right?
Absolutely. The freest speech in the world. Hey, but I'll sit here and I'll say, hey, you know, I've heard about you Canadians and your free speech.
Big Brother's listening to us right now.
I'm sure he is. And he's just, I mean, is that all he does? Just sits there and listens?
Yeah, he just listens to wrestling podcasts through Skype.
What a life.
Because that's on their mandate for this month.
Definitely. Definitely.
Tax dollars well spent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you've also got some interesting characters in your life. Now, there were these individuals that showed up at Jakar for a while. They bore striking resemblance to you and Shane, but I'm not necessarily sure. They didn't seem like you.
And, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Are they going to make an appearance to work and help make you champions? Are they going to be there cheering you on?
Well, I doubt that because, quite frankly, they really don't like us. They've said a lot of mean words that I definitely cannot repeat on this podcast about us.
Mm-hmm.
We've wrestled them once, and it turned out very badly for us.
Was that in Rio de Janeiro or
Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, okay.
I think it was maybe Columbus and maybe Toledo. But, yeah, I hope to never cross paths with the Bad Boys ever, ever again. They're bad.
I was going to say, they're quite bad.
They're very bad. They scare me.
If they wear jeans and bandanas, they're a problem.
That's it. And then the jean vests and everything. And it's not my scene.
Definitely.
You want to talk about gangs. I didn't even think about them. It's a two-man gang.
No. But I mean, they were, how do they compare to the one man gang?
Well, the one man gang, that was Akeem. I'm sorry. One man gang was pretty bad too. I think he could be, I think there's a big family tree as far as the bad family goes. So I'm fairly certain there's some sort of relation there down the line. I'm positive of that.
Cause
I know the bad family would go to Sturgis a lot, during the Hog Fest. And there'd be a lot of improper things that would happen there, and so I'm sure they spawned a lot of family.
Really, I mean, after seeing many of the Road Wild pay per views from back in the day, it seemed like a wholesome environment in which.
Absolutely, it was very comparable to something we see at Chikara.
Absolutely, without a doubt, without a doubt.
I mean, mirror image: Reading, Pennsylvania, and Sturgis.
What's your take on the environs of Chikara? How do you like Pennsylvania?
Actually, I love Pennsylvania. Eastern Pennsylvania is my new home.
Really?
I love Eastern Pennsylvania. The Palmer Recreational Center has been very good to us in our career. I love Pennsylvania. The funny thing is, for the past six, seven years, I've been coming to the state so often, I kind of fancy myself a Canadian-American.
Really?
I might even know more about Philadelphia than some people from Philadelphia know.
So, that's entirely possible. Have you done a lot of sightseeing in Philadelphia?
Absolutely. The funny thing is, it took me 3.5 years to actually get to the Rocky statue, which is blasphemy. That should have been one of the first things I did, but I just, for some reason, never got around to doing it. I've pretty much seen everything there is to see, ate every cheesesteak there is possible. In the Pennsylvania and New Jersey surrounding areas. One place in New Jersey that's very good is Giacomo's. That's a delicious cheesesteak there. Of course, Tony Luke's is, I guess it has to be probably my favorite because, having it so often, it becomes part of the staple of professional wrestler in Philadelphia's diet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and Wawa. Wawa has a great cheesesteak.
All right. See, here, that was going to be a question I was going to ask. I went to college in Pennsylvania, and after working with Chikara and seeing a number of how people operate, I was going to ask, Wawa or Sheetz? And I mean, me personally, I go Sheetz.
I'm a Wawa man. I'm definitely a Wawa man. Nothing against Sheetz, but I think the thing I like about Wawa more is there's just more variety. Like, you go in there, and it's, first of all, you mostly get gas, and then you can get fruit and donuts and sandwiches. It blows my mind. And the fact that there's two companies that are doing this, Sheetz and Wawa, in the same area. It's, whew, I need some of that up here in my life.
All right. Well, I mean, it's not that I dislike Wawa. It's just if I have my druthers, I'm gonna run for the Schmuffins and the Schmiskets at Sheetz.
Yeah, so. I think it seems to be split pretty much 50-50 between the two. I mean, and it's pretty much that consensus as well. I'm the same too. I don't mind Sheetz, but for some reason, I have this emotional connection with Wawa. Maybe because it was the first place I went to. I went to Wawa before Sheetz, so maybe we. You know, Wawa and myself created and cultivated this beautiful relationship, and Sheetz is almost like the mistress on the side that I go to every now and then and maybe feel guilty about, but I'm always going back to Wawa because, you know, Wawa's there for me in my times of need.
At 4 a.m. I was thinking it was like newborn animals are bonded to the first thing that they see and assume is their parent. You first saw in your birth of gas station edibles, it was Wawa that you saw, not Sheetz.
That must be it, because I do remember the first time I saw it, there was a golden light shining around it. So I think you might be pretty accurate with that.
Any sort of choir of angels behind it? Or?
Yeah, there was some choir music, maybe some hymns, and a large black woman singing gospel.
Ooh.
It was a beautiful thing.
Sounds like it, definitely. I did want to ask, of your sightseeing, I hope you have been to the Mütter Museum.
I have not.
What?
It's on my list.
Oh, that is an epic thing.
It's because the hard part of it all is that... It's we're rarely ever in an area for, you know, an extended amount of time, unless it's, you know, for the time we got to go to the Rocky statue and the stairs was over a 3-day weekend for Trio. So we had, you know, we had that extra time. But I mean, usually the schedule as far as I run is I leave my house Saturday morning and I get to wherever we're wrestling that day, say it be Easton or Reading, or even if it's in Philadelphia, I get there just in time to be there for call time for the show, mm-hmm. wrestle, drive another 2-3 hours to wherever we're going next, sleep, wake up, do the afternoon show, drive home, get home, unpack my bag, shower, go to work.
That's a hard life.
It is, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I really wouldn't, because, you know, it's tough, but, you know, it's things that, you know, you're creating memories and times that, you know, I think about most people I know over the weekends. They, you know, they hang out at the local bar or do stuff like that. Meanwhile, I'm driving the roads of upstate New York in snowstorms, listening to Michael Bolton music.
So perfectly safe environment in which nothing bad could happen at all.
Exactly. When you have Michael Bolton around, you're great. I saw him in concert, actually, when I was 8 years old. First concert I ever went to.
Really? Now, this was still the mulleted Michael Bolton, yes?
Oh, yeah. This was the golden-haired, maned Michael Bolton in his prime. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? Beautiful. Beautiful song.
He asked a lot of pointed questions and ones that made you think.
Like, can I touch you there? He asked that. He was a gentleman.
Of course.
Of course, he's talking about her heart.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and he explained what happens when a man loves a woman.
Oh, man. You know, they quote that in Office Space, and it's true, man. There's no better bang for my money than when Michael Bolton sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
It is a tender moment for all. There's not a dry eye in the house.
I celebrate his entire catalog.
How long is his entire catalog? I have not kept up on Michael Bolton's catalog lately. I did see a poster for Yanni recently, but I haven't heard about Michael.
Yanni, he's still around.
Yeah, Yanni. He did not just rock out at the Acropolis. He's done more.
Yeah. I think the Bolton catalog stems. Let me see. It's Time, Love, and Tenderness. Soul Provider. I think he has 3 original CDs. He also has a Christmas CD. Mm-hmm. He also has 2 cover CDs and 2 best ofs.
Wow.
I believe. I think that encompasses everything that is bolted.
I'm impressed you knew the 3 album titles just off of the top of your head.
Oh, of course. I mean, people think I say I love Michael Bolton to get a laugh, but I truly, truly do love Michael Bolton.
there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's got their things that they like. I enjoy Michael Bolton songs. I'm a shameless sap when it comes to a lot of music. If it can make me cry, I'll listen to it.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing when you can feel that. Oh man, it's beautiful. Like Hootie and the Blowfish's "Let Her Cry."
Still, and my girlfriend finds it appalling that I admit this. Hootie and the Blowfish, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh yes, Cracked Rearview. I've said it time and time again. One of the best albums of all time.
I was thrilled the day I found a bootleg CD of their acoustic show that they did on VH1.
I have that as well. I have that CD. Yeah, oh,
made me so happy when I found that CD. Yeah.
Actually, have you heard any of Darius Rucker's country music?
I have not. I did pick up his first solo album that was much more soulful.
Terrible.
Yes,
very terrible.
Yeah,
what songs were on there? Oh man, there was some really really bad stuff on there.
Yeah,
I can't remember. But yeah, no, his last two country albums, very 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 good stuff. I wasn't expecting it to be good, and I'm a fan of country music, and wow, he knocks it out of the park with the two of them. Top to bottom, great album.
All right. I will have to possibly check that out.
You'll have to pirate that.
More than likely, yes. It's true. It's true. Although I was very excited. I got some iTunes gift cards for my birthday, and I purchased some music, and I felt like I was doing a good deed.
Yeah, you're clearing your conscience.
Oh, yes, by buying two CDs, I'm clearing my conscience of the untold megabytes and gigabytes that I've downloaded over the years.
I'm going to illegally download these 300 songs, but I'm going to purchase these 10.
Exactly. Totally makes up for it.
Plus one interlude.
Hey, it comes with a digital booklet, too, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. Fancy. Well, on the topic of thievery, I think that's about time for breakfast to end. Unfortunately, Scott, this has been fantastic.
They're never long enough. I think I go on too many tangents and never really cover anything of meaning or value.
That's perfectly all right. That's perfectly all right. I'll say this. On an upcoming episode, I am hoping to be talking with your illustrious partner. And you are more than welcome to make a guest appearance on that if you so desire.
I'll try and do a run-in, but I'm warning you right now, he is going to be really, really jacked up on Red Bulls when you talk to him. So be ready for it. It's going to be something. It's going to be a religious experience for you, I think.
I'm sure. I'll have to adjust the levels on the recording here so it doesn't just redline the entire time.
I think he's definitely going to touch you there.
I hope so. And I hope that he will touch the Chikara fans. But before we sign off here, let's make sure to get all of the appropriate advertising and pluggery out of the way. Is there a way that people might communicate with you via computers or their smartphones?
I like to. You can generally try and stick your head out the window and shout really loudly. If I'm on my left side, which isn't the Shane Matthews chewing gum ear, I might be able to hear you. If not, you can always. I think Twitter is probably the best thing to do. I'm hip to the Twitter now. After so long, I kind of get up there and put up really really useless tweets.
Okay.
Today, my useless tweet was there's nothing more. I think there's something like. There's no better bang for my buck than that first sip of Dr. Pepper, which I think is a very true statement. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest in the world. So yeah, you can get a lot of useless information there at Jagged 3.0.
All right.
And, you know, I try and tweet everybody back. You know, I'm a very approachable person, so tweet me anything and I'll reply. Maybe I'll quote you and send you a happy face.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, and of course you can see all of, Mr. Scott Parker's illustrious career through the magic of Smart Mark Video, both Canadian works and Chikara works. If there's any one thing they should pick up from both sides of the border that you are particularly proud of, what would those be?
Let me see. I think, I mean, as far as just for wrestling fans, I think if you haven't dabbled into it, try and pick up a couple of IWS shows. You won't be sad. It's a very interesting wrestling product. a lot of really good action. And it's fun to see, you know, guys who are younger, such as, you know, ourselves and even El Generico and Kevin Steen when they were first really starting out and really starting to hit their strides. It's fun to see them. I go back and watch a lot of them now, and it's kind of like fun to see, oh, man, I look so young, even though I still look young now. But, yeah, I check out stuff like that. Like, there's, you know, there was shows with Sabu, which was incredible. I can't remember the exact title of the show, but they're all in Smart Mark Video, so I'd definitely check that out. Or, of course, anything Chikara. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you probably bought a few DVDs, and I think you should probably buy some more. I think that's so we can keep doing things like this, which costs money.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, last but not least, March 24th, 2012, at the Trio Sportsplex in Vaughan, Ontario. And, of course, there, the big news, 3.0 versus Fist. It's a match with a lot of points involved in terms
of... It is
of,
a lot of points.
There's acronyms, there's... Yes. F point I point S point T point. There's a lot of...
That's a little known fact. That's where the Canadian freight train to the Promised Land stops. So you might want to get your tickets.
Good to know. Good to know. Well,
I'm telling you, Daddy's bringing home the bacon. I need it. I need it.
Good to know. And we hope that you achieve it. May the best team win.
You and me both. And I think I'm the best team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope you do. Well, thank you very much once again. And fans, thank you once again for listening. And we'll
good night. I gotta throw the catchphrase in there. Booyah.
Booyah.